Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I might like that Mushroom Kingdom. That could be cool.
Yeah.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable short little men. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
It's me, Jack Black from School of Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Vanel.
Yeah.
It's good to set ourselves up so that we cannot make comments about the quality of the movie we just saw. I'm Adam Knox as well. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello.
That's a funny voice you're doing.
Yeah. And a little wahoo to you two.
A wahoo, sir.
Oh, brother.
It's us. We saw the brand new film.
Air. Featuring
Tetris.
The game Tetris.
Every other movie than the Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
Happy launch day, everybody.
Woo! Yeah.
The cinema event of the year has been and gone.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it.
Yep.
We said to each other as we were walking into the cinema, boys, we got this.
Yeah.
And we certainly did get it.
It was such a pleasure that they had the digital ordering of the tickets. Being able to do that.
Yes.
I still felt genuinely a pang of embarrassment going to this definite kids movie.
Yes.
That is for kids. And keep in mind, with all of our opinions, we know it's for kids.
We do.
We know this movie ain't for us. And even so, I will still talk about the quality of it. It's an embarrassing life that I lead.
Yeah. It's weird because I've seen that written a lot. And yes, it is structured and written in the way that it's for kids. Like, it's G-rated. It's very bright and colourful. The plot is wafer thin.
It might be PG.
What?
PG,
right.
Because I remember when buying the ticket, did you guys get this too? Oh, well, you had to pay in cash.
Yep.
Tommy, because you are a drug dealer.
Yep.
But it came up with keep in mind, this is a rating. There's a rating for this movie or something. It was like, don't buy this ticket if
I
you're a kid type
cartoon
of thing.
Violence often, like, you know, people getting bashed around and stuff usually like tips something.
We're
over
talking
from,
a
like,
PG
into
for
PG.
Sure.
Yeah. But so in regards to it being a kid's movie.
Yeah, it is PG, sorry.
Right. In regards to it being a kid's movie, it is also just littered with Easter eggs and needle drops that are almost in there as if, you know, intending to appeal to people in their mid-30s.
Nintendo.
So it kind of sits in this weird midpoint that some of these movies sometimes do where it's like, yeah, can you give it the pass of being like, oh, well, it's just for kids? Because it's like there are bits of it that do seem like it is actively trying to have stuff in there for an older demographic.
At
like having Donkey Kong say, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Mm.
That's not for a little kid. That's like a cultural, you know, thing that exists to titillate, hopefully, someone who's like 37, you know?
Sure.
Kids exist in culture too, but I do see, and like the marketing of it especially is very much like, hey, your childhood hero's back or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, using the like very early 90s Mario Brothers fake plumbing ad in the marketing, you know, that was put out as a clip online. Like that's aesthetically, it's a nostalgia
play. It was in the Super Bowl. So it's
Yeah.
And Mario's old. Like it should be for everyone, right?
Yes.
And it
should be an E for everyone.
And
yeah.
Then kids' movies also should assume that kids aren't fuckheads.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're often smart enough to know when they're being. Anyway.
We had a big chat about this immediately after we watched the movie. And then
loudly in the cinema in front of these children, telling them that they were wrong to laugh. No kids there.
Yeah, let's go start to finish. So we go and see it at the Dockland Cinema, which is perfect. A hollow shell of an experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
Led us into a hollow shell of an experience.
A big ride outside that has been shut down because no one cares.
Well, you know what it is? It's style over substance. It's all...
Does Docklands have style?
Well, it's all, you know...
I think it's
all...
Melbourne's new living hub, personally.
You know, it's flashy. They had the eye there. And then you get there and it's like, boy, there's nothing going on here.
Beautifully animated water.
Yeah.
True.
Hyped up. You know, the intent was like, this is going to be the new biggest thing. Mm-hmm. People are going to come from all around to visit here. But hasn't panned out.
Before we do get, I think there's enough movement and color and noise and fun.
To make Docklands accessible to everyone.
The kids will have a great time in Australia's emptiest area.
Yeah, we need to just get on with it and get that out of the way. That yes, ultimately, this is a movie for babies, but unfortunately, our job as adult men is to get on here and go deep into the nitty-gritty of what we thought about it.
That's right. It's a video game adaptation. It's the biggest video game of all time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's... We can't not talk about it. We'll try not to be too much of a three Debbie Downers here. But I didn't like it.
No, it's a really bad movie. The only problem with it, though, is the script. Like, the writing because it looks fucking amazing. The shit they can do with computers these days.
Oh, that's why I wanted to go back to the very start of our experience.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the little Nintendo logo popping up at the start of this film.
That was cool.
Couple of little Mario Luigi, like, 8-bit versions, jumping up to a couple of blocks that pop out. Ooh, Nintendo logo.
Yeah. I thought even that is, like, just shows you, again, it's like... what a company Nintendo are, where it's like, we saw the PlayStation 1 and it was kind of this goofy thing of like flicking through like a car from Gran Turismo and stuff like that.
Seeing Sackboy up on the big screen is still one of my greatest cinema experiences.
Like, they didn't try and do the Marvel like rifling through all the characters. Right. It's just like, yeah, Mario and Luigi run along and they punch the logo.
Nice and subtle and clean and, you know, Nintendo.
Before that, I felt like the movie really puts its cards on the table early on in the sense that it's a lot like, you know, if you see a gun, it's going to be fired at some point.
Right.
The first thing you see when this movie fires up is a minion in a go-kart.
Yeah.
And it's like, there you go. Like, immediately I went, oh, okay. Yeah, I know what I'm in for now.
Yeah.
Like, this sets the scene perfectly.
Because it was us three, like, probably mid-30s couple as well, maybe late 20s. I didn't rifle through their wallets like I normally would and find out. Because the way they build cinemas now, you can't crawl under the seats anymore. They've all got these...
We were in the extreme screen, which I liked. I think after you get to a certain point in the, like, going back up the tiers, instead of just seats, there's seats, wall seats.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy, and we're in the recliners. Physically, a great experience.
Hey, 10 out of 10 for comfort.
Yeah.
I felt like I was watching on a cloud, like a little Lakitu.
Yes.
But there was, like, one other guy in there.
Yeah,
all
by
of
himself.
Us adults.
Yep.
And when that go-kart thing happened, I was imagining very vividly being in a full theater with everyone going, ha ha!
Yeah.
Right. Whoa!
Yeah.
Because it did the minion span its wheels. It was very funny.
The car doesn't take off. Yeah. And then it does abruptly
take off. The minion points to some
off.
Text next to it saying Trump is still the real president.
It was really low res, that bit too. Yeah. It was all washed out,
very
looking
strange.
Bizarre. And my auntie actually walked up into the projection room and flicked it on.
Yeah.
And then left after that bit.
Yeah, that was nice.
This is, I mean, it was, it was pretty like pitch perfect.
My
like,
other auntie said, nice to see you, Marg. Hope you're well, XO.
But yeah, I mean, even the fact
related,
that...
but there it was.
Even though it's only in a little studio ident at the start, just seeing a minion popping up, like right before this really vibey Nintendo logo, I was like, oh boy, just a reminder of like, I've just never liked the work of Illumination.
Yeah.
And
I've never seen any before. This is my first Illumination toe in the water.
I think I'm the same. I feel like we might have looked this up before and like I've actually seen some DreamWorks ones that I didn't like, but I think I've never seen an Illumination animated feature.
Despicable Me's and your Gru's and your so on.
Yes.
And I've never
Secret
really...
Life of Pets, they're very like...
Sure.
They just are known for this. Like they're, you know, they're not like... We were talking after...
Well, I like Secret Life of Pets. That's where all the dogs and stuff sit on top of that roof in St. Kilda.
That roof.
Talk
roof.
About dating. Mm.
Yeah, you're thinking of Home Hardware.
That's the roof seal.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Get your nostalgia right,
God. But a claymation Super Mario movie, like the Home Hardware dogs, that I'd be...
Well, you know what's funny is like we saw before this... started, the two trailers that we saw were for that Ninja Turtles cartoon movie.
Yep, looks
and the
great.
New Spider-Verse movie, mm-hmm. which it's funny.
The Ninja
that
Turtles trailer as well being like the audio was desynced for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And we got really scared we were going to have to go up to the projectionist to be like, the Mario movie's not working
yeah,
properly.
I reckon no one in the cinema would have had the stones to do that.
Yeah.
I think we would have
yeah.
all just sat through it.
Yeah.
But it's funny to me that computer animation has gotten so good now that now the interesting challenge is let's make this look deliberately a bit bad.
Right.
Let's make this like lower the frame rates and make it look like it's got a little outline
semi-hand-drawn
and put sketches and shit on it. Yeah.
Wasn't that part of the thing with like the original Shrek is that at the time they thought it looked too realistic and they had to cartoon it up a little bit.
Really? Maybe. Like the proportions and stuff. Yeah, right. The
computers are crazy and this looked fucking incredible from
yes.
start to finish in terms of like just visually the stuff they can make metal and fabric look like that now.
Yeah.
But also I thought the designs of everything and like the bouncy poppiness of mm-hmm. it and like the action and the movement and all of that was like,
and adapting it from a yeah property where it's like it's not meant to look real. It is a certain specific aesthetic that's changed over the years. I think the adaptation of that material was done really well as well.
It's yeah. also not like when they're animated in the games when Mario's running, he's got to be really functional because he's
right.
you're controlling him in this space. There has to be like a set of like physics and stuff that he adheres to.
Yes.
Whereas in this, they're doing a lot of stuff where they're like stretching him out and they're doing a lot more with his facial animations than you'd be able to do in a model for a game that is staying like pretty
right.
much on model for the whole thing.
Yep.
So the actual animators are over in France, and I think you can kind of see a bit of that very like kind of French cartoon, almost like Asterix-y kind of
that
look to like their
yeah,
take on it. He's
it's
a little more rubbery and a lot
yeah,
more like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like French clown shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then the animators came in and exposed themselves to us.
Well,
and were nominated for an Independent Arts Award for it.
There's a bit where Peach is making him do a little obstacle course mm-hmm. thing, and that's very golly, eh? Go again. You're
yeah.
never going to get this right, you fucking idiot.
Yes.
You stupid little plumber.
And hey, the movie thinks it's a lot funnier than it is. So it all works out.
So yeah.
Hey, sometimes saying less is saying more.
The Comedy Festival is back on.
We were all saying this. This is like a mime movie would have been like a
yes.
million times better if
yes.
it was a silent
and
film.
And from that point of view for kids, like this is a movie I can imagine myself at like 7 or whatever watching again and again because there's so much movement and action and lots of detail, and like from that point of view it's a massive success, I think. Like
yeah.
it totally is engaging visually.
Yeah, again, like the realization in, like we said, yeah, such incredible high quality animation of this stuff that has always
yeah.
been like either 2D or like predictable and restricted because it's a game. It's amazing
yeah.
to look at.
And I love that they've gone with the aesthetic from the games too. Like
right.
they haven't, for the most part, gone like, you know, that 93 Mario Brothers movie where they're like, well, this is dork shit.
Yeah.
We should
right.
make it cool or whatever, or
well,
like
or,
change
yeah.
it because this is just a movie version of it. They haven't bothered to. It looks like the shit from the game.
I
yeah.
also still,
in a good way,
prefer
yeah.
this approach to the approach of Sonic, which is bringing him into the real world. And, you know, we all thought that movie was, like, fine.
Mm.
But, like, and, you know, the character of Sonic in those films, he has, like, enough personality. But it still is, like, it's just far less interesting to me to have the, like, fish out of water thing of like live action with a little CGI thing running
right,
around in
right.
it than it is to do this approach, which is just fully commit to it being a cartoon and be able to,
right.
you know, because that's the big complaint I have about the Sonic movies is like you've got this cool Green Hill Zone stuff that
right.
you're just not seeing any of in the same way at all.
Other than they still have Mario get sucked into the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes.
From a weird version of the real world.
They do a little bit of it where like the animation all looks great in the thing and then but right at the start they're doing a lot of the like, imagine if your voice sounded like that. That'd be fucking lame.
Right.
And imagine yeah. if anything wasn't plumbing. That's the weird normal. Like
yeah.
I don't know why they went with that.
So
or
they do this
any
like,
other
yeah.
story choice that they make. Because it's not choices. Like to get it out of the way quickly, this feels like any writer could have written this in genuinely an afternoon without breaking a sweat, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it makes it so boring and so much less than what I think kids' appetites are for
yeah.
stories. Mm. And again, I'm not a kid. I know that to see this movie, I should have a kid.
Yep.
I know that if you talk to my parents, I should have a kid by now. But it's really, really devoid of soul.
I'm sure if you go back and listen to our episode we did, what, over a year ago, right, where we tried to like plot out the, you know, the story of this movie and what we thought it'd be. I'm sure that's a better stab at it.
Yeah.
Or a more interesting stab at the very least.
I mean, we were trying to be stupid and we did it in an hour. So I don't know if I'll go as far as to say that. But like it is the same thing of like it is just the completely uncreative. And
I still think it's not
that it needs to be because it's a commercial product and that is the way they are clearly viewing this first and foremost. But it's just a shame to take all like these great voice actors who are doing a good job.
Yes.
Like, and they're not voice actors, I guess. They're
actors. They're actors,
is another argument about like, well, does it need to be? But like everyone is doing absolutely fine in it. Chris Pratt included.
Yeah.
His voice is a lot more to do with the story that was written for him than him choosing to be like, well, Mario sounds normal.
Yeah.
Like everyone's doing a fine job.
Yep.
From that point of view, it looks great. It's just that there's no fucking skeleton underneath. And imagine looking at the most beautiful person in the world, but with no skeleton, they'd look like a terrifying, disgusting blob that children deserve better than.
But they're still the most beautiful person in the world somehow.
Yeah.
Were they to have a skeleton? You can see like your skin is clear, even though it's lumped on the
ground. You're
looking
at a photo of them when they had the skeleton and then in front of you, they're the blob.
You can imagine them with a skeleton and you've seen other people with skeletons before, so you know what the structure of a skeleton should fucking look like, and it's not that hard to do if you take a little bit of fucking time with it.
That's right.
But they didn't, and what I'm saying is that I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I think I should have been allowed to write this, and that's my only reason for ever criticizing anything, is because I think it should have been me. I don't mean that.
My reason is that I almost fell asleep watching this movie. Yeah. It's just, there's no...
Like sitting on a cloud.
There's
Beautiful
no...
theater.
I'd be terrified if I was sitting on a cloud. I'd be like, why aren't I falling through? I'm about to fall through.
That's
I'm going to fall through the cloud.
I'd fly up
I'm
like
so
Goku.
High up.
No, I'd make friends with it. Or
I love the music in terms of the score, I should say. No, I love the soundtrack. I loved all the needle drops. Mr. Blue Sky, it should be in every movie.
That's
it
what
almost
we should,
is.
Yeah, I weirdly, and I should obviously should have seen this coming, but for... It for people's like huge issue with this when it was all revealed was Chris Pratt being the voice of Mario.
Right.
People hated that. In practice, it's like it's fine. Yeah, it's completely inoffensive. It kind of works.
He just sounds like a man.
Yeah,
really.
But I think truly for me, the most egregious part of it, where for something where Nintendo have been very vocal about this is them, they didn't want to just give out the IP. They want to get into making films. They want this to be a co-production to the point where their deceased former president is listed in the credits.
Yes.
Like, this really is a co-production. It seems insane to me that they signed off on having Take On Me by A-ha and Thunderstruck by AC/DC. Not just Needle Drops.
Beastie
I think
Boys are
Beastie
in there.
Boys,
that's right.
Not just Needle Drops that I think would stick out as egregious anyway, but like the most overused soundtrack choices of all time.
Yeah.
Songs that
generally
have been used more than anything else. It's crazy.
Pretty unrelated to what's
totally
going on,
yeah,
on the screen.
The
too,
only
like
one was No Sleep Till Brooklyn. It's like, well, they're in Brooklyn. So
yeah.
I guess that's the connection. But
it's still like, well, you just Googled Brooklyn.
Totally.
Or it was the first, you know.
Because
like,
it didn't relate thematically. It was like, oh, we're on our way to work. No Sleep Till Brooklyn, I
it's
guess.
It's just such a shame because I want, and like, it's not like I'm like, it needs to be the godfather of Mario or whatever.
If it was... I liked Sonic as a kid's film because it didn't feel like it was talking down to even me.
Right.
You know, it was like, hey, yeah, like we got some fun setup. We're in like the different dimension with the owl and shit. Hey, and then it was like pretty funny when it did go for gags, but this didn't try to make many jokes aside from like, Mario's going to succeed. Oops, he got bitten by a piranha plant.
Or it's just,
you know,
words. Like, the princess does something helpful and the toad goes, now that's how you princess.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, my auntie on Facebook, but not the auntie, my 37-year-old idiot. Like, because it's just like, I don't need it to be a 10 out of 10, but like, there's no motivation for any of the people to be doing what they're doing. It just is like, and then, like this preschool is telling you a story.
Mm.
But which, again, I feel ridiculous.
I know.
Even I having seen it, I would, let alone talking about it.
I would not watch this movie if we didn't have this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm questioning whether we should have for this podcast. Yeah.
I would watch it hungover or on a plane or something in like a couple of months when it's on streaming or whatever. Right. But I will say, like, yeah, having read the pre-press and stuff, which was not particularly good, mm-hmm. and just knowing what Illumination are like, I went in just ready to go completely smooth brain with this. And I didn't mind it. If the needle drops hadn't have been in there, and if some of the dialogue was just finessed a little bit more than just people going, now we go do this.
Yeah.
I actually would have been fine with it for what it is. Like, I remember there was a late night interview with Charlie Day, like maybe a year and a half ago or something, where they asked him about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, that. I don't know, man. I haven't met Chris Pratt in regards to working on this with him. I literally go in, I don't really have a script, they just sort of say to me, say this, and then I kind of do it, and so I can't really tell you too much about it. And at that point I went, oh boy,
yeah.
there is not a script here, this is all being figured out as it's going along.
Yeah.
And the bits where it was just like, Mario's running around, he's doing the little obstacle course, and it's all this stuff, and you've got the orchestral versions of the Koji Kondo scores and stuff, those bits I was like, yeah, this is really fun. Those little moments where, weirdly, when it was actually not trying to do anything other than just be like a showcase for the animation.
Right.
Was, I think, when it was at its best. When it would try and do like, hey, now we're going to have a scene where Peach is talking to her constituents about how they have to go and enlist the Kong army. The second it sort of like tried to do anything, it was just, it really would have been a case of like, yeah, like you were saying, it could have been a mime movie. Like,
yes.
Less would have been more.
I think there are more jokes in it than you guys are accepting.
Remembering?
Like, yeah, because a lot of the jokes are like, this toad has a deep voice. Or like, like it's real dog shit stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe kids love dog shit. I know I did probably at some point. So whatever, like...
I think I'm
hypercritical of amazing comedy. The problem, for me,
is like, I know when I was a kid, I loved The Dark Crystal. So I wouldn't have liked this movie as a kid, and I don't like it as an adult.
Yeah.
So it's just not like, there's no world in which this is an enjoyable experience for me.
I find it funny as well, like, because I looked at some Instagram comments on like the thing, and like, just some insane people who are like, yeah, the woke reviewers got it wrong, which I don't understand how you live in that world. But
it's like, it's a diverse cast. The female co-lead is like, has a lot of agency, drives most of the story. The movie is not anti-woke or traditional.
It's a nonsense word that they use to say idiot. It's nothing. But then also people being like, a lot of references to Mario. I love that. It's like, yeah, of course. It's a Mario movie.
It's not a reference.
That's the minimum. It's about that.
Yeah.
And it does feel, though, from that point of view, like it like a movie made by someone who was secretly making a, like, 50 Easter eggs you missed in the Mario movie, and they're all there, on screen at all times. I don't know, man. It's not literally. It is not for me.
Yeah.
So why do I have an opinion on it?
Because I
can't fucking help myself.
Yeah.
I gotta pipe up about everything.
Yeah.
I like cartoons. I like goofy little cartoons that, like, yeah, the bits of this where I was almost just like viewing it like it was like a Looney Tunes, just like a caper of silly things happening, and like, yeah, Mario falling over and being eaten by a piranha plant. That's a fine little Looney Tunes-esque kind of gag. What I hate, again, is like, I think this studio particularly, they just do, and obviously there are formats of jokes that get used again and again in like comedy movies and in stand-up and in any kind of thing that's trying to be funny, but like the trope of, so Mario and Luigi at the start, they have their plumbing business, they go to this like really nice apartment to try and fix up the plumbing in the bathroom, and it all goes haywire and it's flooding, and then like the couple come in and catch them, and it's like the moment of them looking at each other, and it's like, the place is just flooded, or the like, it's all in chaos, and then you cut to the couple sitting on their couch and like a dog falls out the window behind them. Literally those exact gags are in every one of this type of movie that this studio makes.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that I find especially egregious, is like that as a format of like a kids movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's always going to be the like,
that's what
the little guy who starts throwing punches and and then the big guy's like, oh, is that it? But that's that you can accept. But then there just is like a, a certain format that they love using that's just irritating to me.
And that's all it is that it's not even that it's so boilerplate that it feels like watching, and you said this and said that it's like kind of a trope to say this these days, or like a very common criticism that seems like, but it does feel automatically generated.
It
just is zero care and thought put into the key aspect of it, which is the script, which like is annoying partly because so much of it is done so well that if that had been cranked up a little bit, and like it doesn't have to be perfect, but like fucking there's so many movies that it just, if it had any, it would be
I like the Lego movie better. Like I was so skeptical about, and I am about all the current movies that are based on toys and products.
Yeah.
Lego Movie was great because they hired people who cared about making a good movie.
I loved that Puss in Boots movie last year.
Yeah. Right. And Lego was Chris Pratt again. It's like, dude plays a fine generic man.
The Lego Movie 2 was the same writer as this movie. I haven't seen the Lego Movie 2, but it's just like...
The first one is Lord and Miller, right?
Yeah.
That's the only problem with this movie is that like it's about this thing that is cool and they do everything right except for having any story or words that make any character feel like a person.
And also...
Even the tiniest bit of effort was put in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the problem is it's like, why waste this opportunity as
Mario.
A writer to get to take this thing that you can do anything with because it's such a crazy world.
Yeah.
You know, that
the
you
most
can...
iconic character in the world, like... above Jesus, right? Like right. Mario is
it's
the
like
most
Mickey
recognizable.
Mouse,
yeah.
Mario, a bottle of Coca-Cola.
That's right. Why it's weird that you've got this guy who's just like, yeah, like just a whoever guy writing the script.
Yeah.
When it's like, you could get anyone. This is like one of the biggest, like there are, you know.
This
even
is
going
to make $1 billion. You can pay a screenwriter.
You can get someone.
And it doesn't have to be a fucking Coen Brothers fucking ridiculous, right. Like crazy movie. It just like, a 6 out of 10 would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's and I thought it would be that going in. Like I didn't realize that the movies they made were just 0 out of 10 because it's a void. It's nothing. It's just like this less than human piece of work where it's like I don't understand how you can hand that to someone and go, this is what I've done for the money you paid me, and that they don't biff you one.
Yeah,
I don't. Man, it's.
I reckon I would put it at a 6. Honestly,
you're a generous man.
I think this might be the worst movie I've seen. It was the least enjoyable experience watching a movie.
Right.
I can remember having. As we said, there are many aspects of it that are done it to a high standard.
Yeah,
but I didn't care one iota about anything that happened.
There's just not a story, and there's not a
6.5 out of 10.
I 100%ed it. I platinumed it. I don't know, man. But also, I feel like a fool for ever thinking anything else. So, like,
yeah, take your kids; they'll probably like it.
Hey, kids like movement, and this is a beautiful set of movement.
It really is
going on. It really looks good.
Actually, the one visual thing I didn't like: did Princess Peach have a big head?
Yeah. They all did, though. All the humans have got big heads.
But Mario does in the games. Does Princess Peach's normal proportion use?
I think they've... Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they've stretched her head out a
bit
little
like,
bit from the games.
Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Maybe.
She had a big head.
She looked normal to me when she had the big dress on. But I think often she's got different clothes on during this. So, like, she's looking
even,
sleek as hell, dude.
Even with the...
10 out of 10.
I was like, the head's too big. But then it was like... Because she, one of her things is like, oh, Mario, you're a human. We're the only humans in here.
Yeah.
So I guess they made her proportions kind of comparable.
And all of the people back in the real world look the same too.
Yes.
Everyone's got big heads. To make Mario look like... Mario looks
freakish.
Like Mario, and then every other person looks like Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including his weird family.
I loved this new, I guess, canonizing of, Mario and Luigi's family. They still live at home. They live together at home with a mum and a dad and a grandpa
and
then
an uncle,
a couple of uncle and a cousin.
Hungry granddad.
Yes.
Yeah. I want a bit more, I want to know a bit more about the full Mario family.
The uncle... I've figured out who he reminded me of. He reminded me of Dennis Farina.
Right.
Remember Dennis? Like he's
no idea.
He's like a real, either plays a corrupt cop or like a criminal. He's in Snatch. He's in a bunch of stuff. Hey, it was like Dennis
Farina. You
want to
talk about people who are in Snatch?
But with like black hair, because he's like always had gray hair, but it was like the facial thing, and he was like, you know, it's kind of New York accent. It's like, fuck, why does Mario have, I guess, like this cast of New York oddballs right. as his family? But right. yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I thought that, I that stuck out to me as like, this just looks so bizarre. Yeah. But again, I mean.
Oh, that guy, sure.
Right? Like, there's a little bit of that.
He's the guy from Snatch who's like, yeah, I got advice, don't go to London.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
I think halfway through, yeah, I just found myself just really, just loving the animation. Just, I really did feel like a baby, just kind of sucked in by the colors and sounds and being like, I would rather them, I would prefer them to have kept this at complete surface level than have a crack at explaining the lore of why mushrooms come out of blocks. And given that it is this studio with the lack of finesse that they have, probably fuck it up. I probably would rather them just like keep it surface level and not even try than do it and do it badly, which is what they would have done.
And I
There's
agree.
A version
and
of this listen. Where Pixar do it and they go deep in and it's incredible, but
sure.
we're but not
I'm
living
saying
in that
it doesn't
world,
need to be that. I don't disagree that surface level, whatever, have the Mario stuff be weird and don't explain it.
Mm.
But have any of the people have a reason for doing anything.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of like they just show up and they're on an adventure because like, yeah, it's a movie.
Right.
Fuck
yes.
you. You're writing the movie. It's not a movie until you write it.
Yeah.
Put some effort in.
Yeah. Why is Fucking... Toad friends with him? Because he showed up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a bit like
why have I ever tried at anything I've ever done if this is all that's needed.
It is funny when it's like, all right, and we knew this from the trailers. Okay, Mario Karts are going to be in this.
Yeah.
And they're going to go on Rainbow Road.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's cool. That's it. That'll be a fun sequence.
It was.
And that was a really fun sequence.
I enjoyed that.
But it's like the way that being introduced of like, okay, we go to the Kong world and they love karts. What? Why?
Yeah,
that's all fine.
Why are why are they the place that the karts are introduced?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like the Mario Kart music starting up and like the Kongs have their own garage. It's like,
yep.
I never knew that this was the lore of the Mario Kart games. It's like this ancient art of racing against each other originated in Kong Land.
Right.
I don't even mind that stuff.
Which is cool. Aztec themed for some reason.
Kongs have the carts, whatever. It's just like, it's, oh my God, it's just.
But also, yeah, don't play Thunderstruck in that scene.
Right.
And I'm on board.
Yeah, but, totally. Yeah, that was, and like, yeah, the very, again, this illumination thing.
Just give
of
anyone
like,
a feeling.
Yeah.
At any point. That's all I need. The Kongs can have their carts, but someone's got to have.
The Kongs can have their carts.
Let them eat carts.
The very illumination thing of someone like, which happens twice. It's like they do it once and then they do it again of like someone in the cart and then just like flipping on some sunnies.
Oh, yes.
It's like already sucks as a gag and then they do it like 10 minutes later with Toad. It's like
every gag that's in there sucks as a gag and has been in a million things and proved that it's bad.
Like it really felt like a copy-paste job, the entire film.
It is. The writing is bad.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote this should be ashamed.
I would be. I'd be like, okay, pay me 750 grand or whatever, but I'm going to feel bad about this house I own.
Yeah, exactly. I hope it rots. I hope termites eat it up and eat all the scripts you've been working on, pouring your real art into if you have been. That's the punishment you should get. It would take 20% more of just like a little bit of heart.
I didn't get it right. For me, I felt like it was like, yeah, it was close enough to being like a pretty good little cartoon movie.
Yeah.
Every
element is great other than just the empty
talking to each other.
Pupil-less eyes of the shark mentality that these characters have where they're not people.
Yeah, I'll never be able to I don't think there's any way they could explain why the battle without honor or humility had to play in that. Like,
for 4 seconds as well.
Yeah. And is that meant to be a joke? It's like, oh, we're referencing. Because that's the other thing. It's from an R-rated movie. So it's like. That thing,
an R-rated kung fu film.
Yeah, it comes back to that thing of going, it's for kids, but then you've got that in there. And it's like, well, that's a reference that only someone who's like minimum 18 is going to get because it's from an R-rated movie.
And it's one of those things, it's not a joke, it's a reference and it's been done 100 fucking billion times.
Yes.
If it's been done in The Simpsons after it got bad,
you're
not allowed to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get over the
it's cynical. It felt like a very cynical product that we just watched.
Exactly. It's just completely thoughtless and effortless.
It is a bummer.
And there's so much like candy on top that it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you care about stuff, it is just a fucking bog.
I think it's the bummer of it is seeing like the photos from the like premieres and stuff where you've got Big Shiggy there and he's a guy that just like he exudes so much joy. Mm-hmm. He just is like the way he talks about Mario as if he's his son. You know, his thoughts about like the way all these things kind of work. I think did we pitch this in our version of this that we did where there's that quote from him where he probably feels differently about it now, but his internal logic for the games was that Mario and his friends putting on a little play, which is why the beginning of Mario 3 looks like that.
Yep.
But I feel like did we maybe pitch that as like an idea in our like version of it?
Yeah, that was the whole basis of it is that Mario is famous and that he has to get over his big head.
Yes. Right, but treat like, it like the – rip it more from like the Paper Mario and the Mario RPG series where – because that's the version of Bowser that's in this – he is kind of taken from that because he has no personality in the Mario platform games, but in the RPGs where he talks a bit more and he's like obsessed with Peach.
Well, he's the Mario Odyssey Bowser. It's the same wedding clothes he's wearing.
It's all that stuff.
Yes. But it's not. It doesn't even have to be from something, but it could be exactly this, but just with an emotion. Just a thing
a
to latch on
draft,
to
like
exactly like just literally there's no excuse for writing this other than I had 60 minutes and I was on the toilet without paper yelling it into a microphone like Prince did when he wrote songs.
I'm disappointed in Nintendo 4 and maybe it is a translation thing, but like how did like they know what good writing is, they not?
That's the point that I was trying to get to.
I don't think Nintendo's that involved, though. I think you're overestimating how much Nintendo had a hand in this.
That's what I was going to say. Like, seeing the premiere stuff and Miyamoto, and he's so, like, he's just, there's this great photo of, like, him and Jack Black, and he's clearly, like, he's, like, stoked to see his little world come to life.
Mm.
And then you look at this, like, that big round-headed man from Illumination.
Yes.
And you see, like, any of those other creatives involved in it, and you can just see them. Clearly, they're just like cha-ching.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
this right. isn't a thing where they've gone. What an honor that we've been bestowed upon. That we've been given the keys to this like incredible, you know, property that people have such fondness all have such fondness for. That is, yes, we've got our work cut out for us. It's incredibly one-dimensional. How do you service this and still have a story in it? Sure, hard. But it just, it does feel like they've just gone, we'll flex our muscle with the, like, look and feel of it and then, like,
but you can see exactly
who cares
because
what the script
is. Screen Guild stuff is strict. And people have to be credited properly, and there's one writer credited, and so it's the fault of two people, him and whoever let him do it. So, like, it's
put this in the fucking the hands of Brad Bird or someone. This would have been amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's put it in the hands of a bird, and like get it to just walk on a typewriter. And it's a shame, but it's big and colorful and loud, and the score is great.
Hearing the
big band versions of all the Mario stuff is
and like,
cool.
And that's what's annoying about it is that in certain areas of it, there is a lot of care. Like, it's not just pure surface level Mario stuff. Like, you know, he transforms into the little cat, which is from a relatively, you know, it's not a thing from the original one that everyone has a connection to. There's like little audio motifs that pop up that are that are slightly more obscure than just the obvious, fire flower and a mushroom. Like, it does have enough little things dotted through there where it's like,
but
someone
again,
in there's really paid attention and really wants to, like, you know, put this stuff in here and give it the treatment that it deserves in a visual sense at least.
Yeah, any writer who's played all the Mario games can do it better.
True.
But yeah, I think
that's get me to do it.
That's like Illumination, massive studio, right?
Yeah.
So there will be on every level of every department people who are huge Mario fans care a lot.
And I'm sure they got given a big Bible by Nintendo and all that sort of stuff. It all looks so exactly
if this movie
the recent 3D Marios, especially.
I guess as we did say at the start, if it was a silent film or if Mario was a silent protagonist, would have been better. If this was a series of screenshots, you know, it does look fucking great.
It's just the missed opportunity of like you can have just crank it up a little bit and like have a story like I don't know, man. The movies we grew up with that were for kids back then, like The Lion King and whatever, had stories in them. And that's why they've lasted so long. And this doesn't have one, and it's a shame because kids deserve that.
Yeah.
And kids can have fun with whatever. Kids can have fun with a stick. Saying kids like it doesn't mean fucking jack shit.
Yeah, true. Because
kids have imaginations and fill in the gaps.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But kids can like Toy Story, and Toy Story is a 10 out of 10 film.
And that shit sticks with you and teaches you about the world, and you learn about what, like, being a person is
from
being told stories.
This teaches you that if you're short, you have to get a power up to be bigger. Otherwise, you're not worth
being it. Short is bad.
Yeah.
And that you shouldn't marry someone who doesn't want you to.
Oh, that's a good. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Bowser's the villain.
That actually stuck out as being particularly like villainous. Like, yeah, that's yuck.
It's real gross.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, and that's a very classic sort of story. You know, the wicked whoever wants to
marry
make
it the graduate. Have Mario showing up at the wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say I liked all the Donkey Kong stuff way more than I thought I would.
I think
Seth Rogen was my favorite part of it. I liked his performance.
I still think Jack Black was, like, I thought he was a good Bowser. He was kind of a fun villain.
He's working.
Exactly. Yeah. He's into it, yes.
He's a person in the cast who, like, all the stuff he's done on the junket and on the premiere, he's dressing up like Bowser.
Yeah.
He's clearly a person involved who's like, I get it. What an honor to be involved in this.
Yeah.
Whereas you just feel like literally everyone else in it, I think, fine, is cashing the checks.
I honestly thought Chris Pratt was fine, and that, like, it's who they view Mario as in the context of this movie, as being like, a regular guy from Brooklyn gets sucked into the weird world.
That's it, right?
He's like, doing that perfectly.
Jack Black can put himself into this Bowser role, and you can feel it because it's a big flashy villain. But even if Chris Pratt, like, this could be Chris Pratt being like, I have given my all to this performance and it's good.
I think it is that.
But he has not much to do with it, is the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They've taken Mario and made him the same as the 90s one.
Right.
Well, and again, from what I understand, he's going into a room and someone's being like, and now say this. Like, it really does feel like the tracks were being assembled as the train was in motion. So I don't think it doesn't sound like any of them got like a big script to kind of like really look over and think about and you know.
And maybe that's why you get voice actors in though, because they're more used to that, you know. Like, that is a good anyway.
But also I think all the performances were good. But
the Mario games have never this obsession with both movies, 100% of Mario movies having to start with him as a real life Brooklyn plumber. I don't think they've ever made any mention of that in the games. I don't think there's ever been a thing mentioned of like Mario used to live in the real world and now he's been transported into the Mushroom Kingdom. The Mushroom Kingdom just is the real world. It exists. It's the default world in that game Mario just goes about his business.
He's just Italian.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a New Yorker in any of the games.
No, only in the American adaptation, so that they can just get someone from America who has a New York accent to do it.
Right.
I suppose. Like, that's from the cartoons and whatever. Anyway, we're not going to fucking affect anyone going to see. Like, I think the only thing is if you're like us and we're thinking like, a bit of fun, might not be.
But if you've got kids, streaming or something.
Yeah. Wait for streaming and,
Because, this cost us a fair bit.
Yeah. Bit hungover on streaming,
sure.
I think, is like a fine way to consume this. And I will say,
kids, you're going to see every animated movie anyway.
Right.
Maybe this stacks up. Maybe they're fucking a nightmare these days.
Right.
I don't know.
That was my thing, is that I have not seen even a good animated film, A, at the cinemas, or B, at all for a while. Like, I haven't really been tapped into even like Pixar stuff. So this really stuck out to me as like, this is the bottom of the barrel of like stuff I've watched, you know, in the last decade or something.
The Puss in Boots is and whatever, and like, you know, I guess Spider-Man's a different thing, the Miles Morales thing. But
I would say from what I understand of what you have to sit through as a parent, this is probably about as inoffensive as it can get.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's better than going and seeing anything your kid's done. Having to go to their recital? Fuck that.
Yeah.
Because again, it's hitting some tropes that you're familiar with from growing up. They'll have a fun time because it's flashy and bright.
Right.
I think
they'll shut the fuck up for a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, 90 minutes.
Why is it that I don't have any kids to go see this movie?
I think that is, for all the negatives that we have about it, and there are a lot, I think it does deserve a lot of credit for coming in at a lean 92 minutes.
Yeah.
That is probably the smartest thing they've done with it.
Yeah, like, appreciated
get in,
that.
Get out.
Really appreciate that.
Let's not fuck around for too long.
And the only negative I have is literally with the words written down.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only... everything else is like, wow, there's some professionals making this.
It almost, it might be the best 3D animated... like, it might be the best 3D animation I've ever seen in my life. Like, it is so fucking good visually.
It's crazy.
Go and wear earplugs. That's my advice.
That's a bit of like the way this, how flashy this looks. It did make me think a bit like, oh, this is the kind of like look and sort of cutscene and stuff that we could get if Nintendo ever like went, you know what, fuck it. We will start to compete with Sony.
Right.
And we will make like a 4K console that can like imagine their designers being able to like get something up to this standard with like that kind of horsepower to play with. Oh
yeah,
be great.
Yeah,
now I'm mad.
Well, speaking of Sonic,
yes,
there's more stuff than just the cinema event of the century this week. There's also the murder mystery event of the century.
What is going on? Like, I just have had a moment where it's like, we're talking about this insane Mario movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now we're going into the next story of the day, a free game where Sonic dies. Like, yeah. I think I might be in the afterlife. Like, I think maybe I got, like, the roof caved in on night one of my comedy festival show. And now I'm in just some bizarre...
This is how I felt. Because, yeah, after we watched it, Nox, you were reading a bunch of comments, a bunch of reviews. And it felt... I was like, have I been put into the simulation? Did I wake up in the simulation?
Yeah.
And it's been designed to make me angry.
Who cares? There's a post-credit scene where a little egg cracks and you hear... they're setting up a sequel and you hear, Yoshi!
Yeah.
And I made a joke to you guys, like, did you guys get what that little Easter egg was over the post-credits?
Yeah.
And then you read a comment on the Instagram page for it that says, was that Yoshi at the end?
Yeah.
My God!
It truly made me feel insane. I don't...
Guys.
What's happening?
This is a lot of levity to be having when Sonic is dead.
Sorry.
A little bit
of respect,
for the other. You're completely right. Like, I file my taxes with this as my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone were to ever listen to it, I'd go to jail.
Because you got in my car, Nox, and I drove us here and I just said, as soon as I turned the engine on, I just went, what's the point? What's the point of anything?
We... played some of the game.
Yeah. The murder of Sonic the Hedgehog.
The murder of Sonic the Hedgehog. He dies on a train. It's like a birthday party for Amy. It's a murder mystery.
It was an April Fool's
gag. It was an April Fool's thing, but it's a real game that Sega put out on Steam.
The Sonic Twitter was like, oh, we've heard your feedback and we're excited to announce the bold new direction for Sonic the Hedgehog. He's dead.
He dead.
You can get onto Steam now and download this little visual novel murder mystery thing for free.
We're playing through it on YouTube if you want to watch it that way. It's up for patrons now and it'll go up the week after. That's one of the benefits you get on patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Yeah.
Filth with benefits.
Yeah. We'll suck you off. And don't hold us to that. let us do it on our own.
Who was this made by? Was it made by
Sega?
It was actually made by Sega.
Yep.
Internal development team. It wasn't farmed out to some joke company.
It says developed and published by Sega on the Steam page.
Okay. Wow.
And it's just this weird little point and click sort of very easy adventure visual novel thing.
Mm.
Only a couple of hours long to my understanding. So you can download it for free or go have a look at it. Fun little April, the only one of the April Fool's things that I thought was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It actually comes with something interesting. It's not just
imagine
just a company going like, piss flavored water today only.
Or it's not just the tweet. They were like, yeah, here's a game. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, very Ace Attorney. You've got to talk to people. You've got to collect evidence. Talk to them again, basically. That's the game.
Yeah.
The art's cool.
It's funny. I think it's kind of well written.
Speaking
of things that are like, adaptations of very, very iconic characters.
Yeah.
I think it does a pretty good job with it.
It gets it. It's leaning in.
Yeah.
It's like, and then you're doing little, it's not really explained why this happens, but anytime you're turning the screws on someone, a little fake Game Gear thing comes up and you have to do like a little isometric sort of Sonic level in order to fire up your brain and and if you fail the level, it's like, no, nah, you're not getting me on that. Well, hang on, give me one second. I'm just going to play this game again one more time. Yeah. And then if I clear the level, I'll have you dead to rights, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. It seems to be because it's your character thinking.
Yes.
It's their like it meditation is, yeah, thing. Yeah. And the way your character is written is very much like a Sonic fan.
Yeah, and I think that's all on purpose. Like, yeah. I don't think it's like a... an earnest thing that's like embarrassing. I think, yeah, it's totally leaning into all of that lore and mythos and
the
like
weird
funniness.
Meta real world where Sonic inhabits. It's
it's
weird. So yeah, watch us play that if you want, or go download it for free. But that was a cool... I don't recall off the top of my head any other April Fool's things where that I was taken by. Or
no, where there's a free little bit of content to engage with.
Yeah. It's cool. So that was the good news. The bad news, I think the day before April Fool's Day, so that no one could get it wrong, is that E3, we kind of talked about this, but is properly officially the day after I think we put out the last episode.
I didn't
Six
think
feet
of
under.
That. Yeah. That they knew they were going to make this announcement. They're like, well, we'd better get it out there on March the 31st.
Yeah.
Lest people think we're goofing around.
Imagine. Yeah. But yeah, no.
But that's
writing.
The ultimate prank. That is the ultimate April Fool's joke.
Putting out real news on the 1st
I
of
see.
April.
Yeah, you're making a little joke about being over. No, we're actually not doing it.
I think that does sometimes happen. If you died on... Anyway, E3 done, official, cancelled. I don't think they've said dead forever, but it is.
I think they've said, like, not dead forever. Like, the company still exists and we'll be looking at future, you know, potential events.
Right, so just cancelled for this year is their
version of it.
But
they've cancelled two out of the last three, four...
Yeah.
I mean, one due to COVID.
Yeah,
sure,
I was
going to
say,
then,
if you take.
You know, if
COVID
you're back
out,
now and you're still.
Well, one of them was like online only or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even that it was cancelled. It's that it. Ask me anything about E3 in the last few years because it's been not relevant for a fair while now, at the very least. And that's led to its demise.
Yeah, there'll still be presentations that happen for 2 months ish. In the middle of the year.
Yes.
And there's the exact same stuff happening. Like Microsoft is doing their conference and then the Bethesda thing afterwards about Starfield and whatever. So
I did see
it's
actually
meaningless.
Like the day, maybe same day that they announced it, Jeff Keighley, and I saw people point this out as being a little bit mean-spirited, that he like specifically was like, hey everyone, guess what is coming back? Summer Games Fest.
Right.
Oh boy.
Which is like, well, yeah, it's true.
Sorry
it
to hear your husband's
time,
dead, but what are you doing tomorrow?
He's a dick pic, yeah. So, I mean, that is that, but that also has been something that has been pretty well done in previous years. Like, they put out these demos at the same time. There's like you said, the same companies delivering the same information, just on different YouTube channels.
And I mean, the rise of that is like a big part probably of why it's a similar thing to like a Blockbuster or whatever, where it's like Jeff Keighley came along, and other people have done this too, but with digital versions, and then Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft have all done their own digital versions of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And E3 relied on everyone come to LA, which people kind of go, well, why?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, even if it hadn't have been for COVID, this probably still would have happened. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a method for delivery now, and this does sort of happen from time to time, and I think you'll start to see it happen even more, of like, you could have it be a couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is where developers reveal their games, and then on the eShop you can download this time demo that will lock after a certain period of time if you want to engage with this little 5-minute segment, you know, like, because that was the thing of like journalists being able to play a little bit of a game on the floor. But now there's the means to be able to deliver that to literally everyone. You don't need a journalist to just have played a little bit on it and report back.
Yeah.
You can give it to all of the consumers who you're hoping will buy it. Yeah. That would be cool to have a week where it's like you have to access it in this window.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like that Steam demo fest.
Yeah, Next Fest.
Next Fest.
So it does sort of start to happen already.
There's like 300 demos though, so it's like, but it's also, it's great for just normal people to be like, I like, you know, real-time strategy games, and then you just look it up and play 5 demos of different ones.
And you've got your PAXs for like a more regular person attended, and there's GDC and all sorts of things for industry.
It's all going to be either more accessible and broad, which is what everyone's doing on YouTube, or more niche, more specific than
E3. Just used to be this kind of monolith for it, which, is similar to Blockbuster. You get into a position where your role...
Where Jeff Netflix comes along.
Yeah.
And he's like, That's a bit easier than what you were offering.
Because you don't have the Bic Man, do you? What was he called? Shaver Man?
Shaver Man.
The Schick Hydrobot.
What a piece of shit. If I were ever going to shave myself, you know what I would use?
Well, you're talking about getting, you know, like free demos delivered to you.
Mm.
Well, that's someone else that gets it delivered to you for free.
If you use the code FILTHY, you get a bunch of bloody Manscaped stuff showing up at your door.
What is their equivalent of the Schick Hydrobot? Is it like Manscaped Man?
It's us.
Well, yeah. It's us dressed normal.
Yeah.
Or we could take our clothes off because we're well-groomed thanks to, Manscaped who are sponsoring us again. They got a whole bunch of shit over on manscaped.com.
Oh, I've got some copy for us for me to read if you want to hear it.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Crotch discomfort hurting your game?
I call my dick my game, so okay. Yes.
Fear no more. The kings of crotch comfort.
I've been so scared by it lately.
Well, so you might be. You might be scared of crotch discomfort. Manscaped have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. Sleek, soft, comfortable and flexible. The brand new Boxers 2.0, that's right. They took boxers... And they 2.0'd them.
A sequel to Boxers?
That's right. It's the new Boxers from Manscaped. They take your balls to the royal ball throne.
Nice. The prequel to Boxers was like a big leaf that you put across your junk.
Fig leaf.
A fig leaf. Not
you mispronounced it. Yeah. But yes, they also have the Manscaped. The Lawnmower 4.0 for all your trimming. So have a little trim. Pop on some Boxers 2.0. Feels beautiful down there.
Yeah.
Like you're sitting on a cloud.
Oh, yes. One of the greatest
the
things.
The only comparison I know.
But yes, they got the boxes, they got the lawnmower, they got the weed whacker 2.0. They got a whole bunch of stuff. And you can get it with free shipping and get this 20% off.
Damn.
Ooh.
20% off the total cost price by using the code FILTHY at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com, that's where you buy it. FILTHY. Discount code.
Nice. 20% off and free shipping. Damn, I love deals. If only I could get a deal with another thing.
Well, you like the internet, right?
I fucking hate the shit, but oh, I have to be on it.
Yeah, well, it can be a dangerous place, an insecure place. It can be targeted by hackers or people trying to get your money and shit.
That's my second biggest fear after crotch discomfort.
Well, me too, genuinely, in my life. That's all I got to worry about. But I don't have to worry about that second thing. Because I use NordVPN.
Ah, that lets you a VPN of a virtual private network, I believe.
Yeah, no, it's a visible panty line. You see it when I'm wearing my Boxers 2.0. NordVPN, yes, it's a VPN that protects your online presence. You can do banking. You can do, I don't know, send sensitive emails.
You go, act as though you're in different parts of the world.
That's right.
Hide your IP, access things from other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like traveling, but from the comfort of your own boxer briefs.
Oh, yeah. You can get on at Super Mario Brothers Movie on Instagram and leave the comment, was that Yoshi? And no one will know it was you.
I would love if all of our listeners would do that, actually.
a strange brain that can figure out a VPN and not
a username.
What Yoshi's egg, and then the character of Yoshi saying, Yoshi!
But yeah, you can watch the Super Mario Movie. Well, no, it's only in cinemas.
Eventually.
Yeah.
You can do a whole bunch of stuff. Go have a look at it by going to nordvpn.com/filthy and you get a big ass deal.
Big old discount, and you get 4 months free if you use our little link, nordvpn.com/filthy. You get 4 months free, a huge discount. I use my VPN every day. In fact, it logs on automatically and quick connects. It's really handy.
Yep.
NordVPN is the one to use. We fully endorse it.
Yeah.
So say all of us.
Mm.
You know what, probably you've just made me think, you know what actually would be, I think, perhaps the ultimate way to watch the Super Mario Brothers movie when it's on streaming, Japanese audio.
Oh!
No subtitles.
Yeah. Yes.
I truly reckon, I think that might be it.
Yeah.
You're missing out on Jack Black, you're missing out on Seth Rogen, but I reckon you're getting some groovy Japanese actors giving it, you know,
absolutely.
Giving it their pretty good nudge.
When someone makes, I've seen them do this with a few movies, the like hyper compressed Game Boy Advance version that you can watch with one of those video cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I want to watch.
Yeah, okay.
Watch it on an iPod.
Yeah. That's the type of nostalgia I like, and I've been continuing to like the type of nostalgia that Resident Evil 4 Remake has been providing me throughout the week. That new fucking Mercenaries thing comes out, I think, tomorrow or the next day, and I finished up the main game, and I'm you know, probably going to go back and replay The Little Bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind
it's
of...
It's such
I'm,
a fun game.
I'm thinking this might so be... Good. I've never done a... I've never gone straight back in on a playthrough of a Resident Evil, but I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about 8 recently, and just the thing of like, yeah, you then get to go back through with like all the guns that you've unlocked. So you've got your bazooka
was that Kane
from
and
the
Rince?
Very... Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that
you've
episode
You've got
well.
Your bazooka from the very first mission, and I was like, yeah, why haven't I ever done that? That sounds like a bit of fun.
And skipping all the cutscenes and everything, it makes them quite short games.
Yeah.
Right,
can zip through those things. Like, there are challenges to beat it in under 5 hours and whatever. Like,
that's it. There's already on your first playthrough, if you want to. I don't know how thorough you've been, Nox, but like all the medallion things and the side quests, the blue, you know, little notes and stuff.
I wanted to get all of them and missed like 3 or 4 of the sort of requests
and I think two of the
little statues, which is part of the reason I want to go back and completionist
the,
it all
the bit where you're in the boat, and that's it's sort of it's not open world, but there's a bunch of different little bits where you can kind of
around the
cruise
lake.
Around to and I did yeah a bit I hate li- I was like, oh, because it does tell you, it's like, you're not coming back here.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, I do, I'm having a fun time with this, so I do want to prolong it and do all of that, but also like, I just, I want to see the next area. I want to get to the next bit.
I'd never played this game before, aside from the start bit in the VR version. And so I just went zero completionist mode.
Yeah.
Just story, just bang, bang, bang. Played it on normal. Apparently, Nox, you said I'm like second last segment basically of the game, second last chapter right in this remake, because like I checked like a walkthrough, and I think it's the IGN is like, we have one for the original game and the new one, and they're split up differently, like the original is like different parts and different, you know, segmentations.
They're very different games
in
like a ton of ways. We talked about it last week, but like having seen the whole thing through now, like it's the same idea, and like you're going through the same areas and vague set pieces and stuff, but it is just like the best remake I've ever played, because it is essentially a new version of the same thing in a way that they aren't normally. It's the way I would love to see all of them be, where both now exist in separate parts as relevant things to still to me.
There's still a case to be made for playing the original.
I think I prefer the original.
You can delete every version of every old version of this, and
It's like, well, why did they even bother with the new one if the, you know, like feel that often, unless it's like just a remaster that's essentially a port or whatever, but this is just such a cool separate thing. It's so well made, and I enjoyed the hell out of my time with it. I'm going to keep playing it, but just because that's what I've been playing. Another hearty recommend.
It's kind of a shame. I feel like I'm very less able to go back to old games that I didn't ever play. I find it much harder to readjust my brain. Like, Tommy, on the bonus podcast, you were talking about watching Firefly and struggling to adjust to that, having never seen it when it came out. I tend to have a similar thing with games, especially with graphics. I don't know. I very quickly just accept the current best games graphics I've ever seen is how all games should look like.
Right. Controls, too, I think would be the thing with this, where the original controls very differently to where things have gone. So if you don't have that attachment to it, I think you'd find it a little tough to get on with. I don't have it so much with the graphics, but like trying to play some of those old 3D platformers on the Nintendo 64, Switch Online, even having the little Nintendo 64 control that you can get for it, just the little things of like the camera is just like you just get so used now to like being able to sort of swing out freely and kind of get a good look at your surroundings. But like playing Banjo-Kazooie and you find yourself kind of trapped in a corner, and like I find it so hard in that game to have any true sense of the surroundings, because of the way the camera and it's purely the controls, it's not the visuals or anything. It's just like, in the 30 years since that, it's like, no, my brain's just not It's moved on.
You see, I love that shit. I love going back to like I.
You
got
to open a video game museum. You've got the Infinity Games machine,
which, by the way, is a lot of different machines. Yeah, we always talk about it like that. But like,
I think someone asked us like, what is it? Is it like a big PC? It's like no. It's like 10 different old consoles that Nox bought off eBay.
It's just a bunch of old games.
Yeah,
it's sort of a shelf.
Yeah.
It's like a series of shelves in a wardrobe at the moment.
Right.
With a very scary power board down the bottom that I'm always worried will blow up.
Oh, and like you got a CRT TV for it and stuff.
I will genuinely, if I'm playing a game that's old enough, will like put my phone away. It helps me to put the phone away.
Right.
Because in my head, only landlines.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't look at that because it didn't exist.
I'm going to just buy a landline letters. And put it on the wall and see if it stops me from playing Marvel Snap 12 hours a day.
Marvel Snap is like a press one to play, you know, put down Black Panther.
Hey there. You've called up Marvel Snap. $4.95 a minute.
That what they really need is a Marvel Snap addiction hotline that I can just call. But yeah, I'm loving Resident Evil 4. I will finish it in the next couple of days. I have barely picked up anything else.
You will finish it in 1 hour when you play it. You're right at the end.
I love it. I love even the differences from the 2 and 3 remake that initially I felt a bit like, oh, why isn't it just exactly the same? They make sense within the context of this game. And it's more of a bombastic action game.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's more helicopters blowing up towers with rocket launchers and shit.
Exactly. And that was the case with the original as well, that like it was this big action game of like, it's so much fun. And I think everyone should give that a go. I've also been playing...
just quickly, before you go on.
Better be quick.
I would be interested to see now. I don't know if we got into this last week. I don't think we did. But whether they do a remake of 5 and 6 now, given that they, you know, given that they flipped around 4 a little bit, not that it really needed it, but they have, you know, they're not opposed to tinkering with the game when they remake it. Whether they go... Because 5 and 6, not very well received. 6 especially... Whether they look at this, you know, this little remake trajectory they're on now and go, this is our chance to bring them up to script. Let's like completely fuck around with them and just make them like, and, you know, fix the things that people didn't like about
them. Take the characters and story and just make a brand new game, essentially.
Yeah. They probably will, because the ending of the 4 remake, without spoilers, ties more into what 5 was.
Yeah, nice.
Than the original ending of 4 did, because I didn't know what 5 was.
Okay, interesting. So, cool. Okay, that would be cool because...
We did talk about this because then we were like, well, should they do 1? Should they do Code Veronica or 0?
Yeah.
Why not? Because like these are the only ones where the remake is a new game.
Yeah, yeah.
To me. And they're so good at it. Yeah.
Final Fantasy 7, which is kind of even a different kind of remake again.
Totally. That's like a... sequel almost.
But yeah, doing the ones where it's like, no, we've changed enough about it that it's basically a new game with the same bullet points, you know, that we've referred to.
Yeah.
I think they should, because like they're going, it's working for them. Like,
exactly. They're making good games. Why not? Yeah.
There was one other thing with Resident Evil 4 where the fucking actor for Ada Wong is getting like,
oh yeah,
harassed to shit and like deleted her social media stuff and whatever.
Brutal.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, I'm sure people who are doing that don't listen to this, but no. Fuck off.
People criticizing her performance, but then also the voice actor that they've used this time is an Asian American woman, whereas previously it was like just a white woman, I think. Like,
right, I don't know, but
I'm sure there's a depressing and shitty reason for it. But yeah, fuck off. It's a good performance as well. I don't understand.
And don't harass anyone. Make a podcast and say that the thing that the person wrote had no soul. That's the adult way of leveling criticism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you do it if you're a grown up watching a Mario movie at 11:45 in the morning on a Thursday.
But yeah, great game, great voice acting. But you've been playing.
Sorry.
Oh, and the fucking there's one line Leon has towards the end that I frequently have me laughing out loud.
I do find it. It is like again, as with like those other ones, it's a overly earnest production,
right?
That is not, I don't think, self-aware. Like him,
it's
him being like, hey,
I gotta
Ashley.
I don't like Ashley's performance in the sense that it's
really
a bit too. Well, no, it's the way when she gets grabbed and her like screaming is a little, I find it a little ick. I don't know if that makes sense. It's a little too like, I don't know, there's something a bit perverse about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's similar to the original in like the tone of it, but
yeah, it's a bit it just a lot of the stuff with not I don't mean like the performance is bad.
Right, no.
I mean like the way they've directed it to be is a little like,
oh, help me.
Yeah, it's all that sort of stuff. I'm a bit like,
I get that making you feel uncomfortable. Like, you know, I think you're a hero for not liking the sound of a screaming woman.
Yeah, I get it. I get that it's got to be there for the, but there's just like something about it for
that's
me.
That's interesting.
Ticks over a bit into like, kind of territory, you know?
When I've been playing it, she hasn't been grabbed and carried off by the enemies that much. So I just haven't noticed it, honestly.
She's been the most like realistic. I thought her voice in particular was really well done because she's like sounded very natural the whole time to me.
Yeah.
Which is maybe part of it is that she's doing a good job of acting in the, like, it hasn't given me the ick. As the cool kids say now,
Leon comes across as a real dumb, but there was one bit where Ashley was like, "So you do a lot of these missions?" And he was like, "Yeah, but I don't usually have as good company as I do on this one." Which is like, isn't she a schoolgirl?
Yeah, literally wearing her school uniform.
Yeah,
there's
a bit
of that.
Leon, why did you say that?
Yeah,
you're like 35. But yeah, so that's it's an earnest kind of trashy story and setting and stuff, but you know, it's so fun to play it. I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trashy, there's a lot of trash when you smash up cars.
Oh,
you can have to junk
so
them.
True.
And
so true.
I personally think that's wasteful and I would never get into rallying. Other than the type I do every week down at Parliament about how vaccines are bad.
Oh, interesting.
That, again, not true.
I think they're good, yeah.
I have to throw out every time. Don't take it out of... I'm pro-vaccine. I'm getting them every day.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I'm making a joke.
That's how many do you reckon you've had in your life? How many do you have when you're a baby?
Oh, like 10 or something?
Yeah, I probably would have had a flu one most years.
Yeah.
The three COVIDs I've had.
Oh, yeah, I guess the yearly
ones. And then the ones I had when I was a baby.
And a teen, you get a refresh when you're like a little older of some of them.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
So 1,000?
Probably 1,000.
I've been driving at 1,000 miles per hour in Forza Horizon.
Yeah.
The rally expansion. What's it called? Rally something. Rally
good?
I don't.
Is that what it's called?
It's
Rally McBeal?
I don't remember it being either of those. I do have a dancing baby on top of my car.
Oh, yeah. It's Uga Chaka in the soundtrack.
Oh.
There is a new radio station, I think. I don't remember it from the original. And
this kind of came out of nowhere. I sort of didn't realize this, for me anyway.
They'd announced it a long time ago.
I didn't realize this was dropping until it came out. I didn't see any pre in like the week of this is out tomorrow or anything until like after it already
compared
dropped.
Compared to the Hot Wheels one as well, which I feel like they were a lot more promo-y about.
Yeah.
This one did just sort of come out of nowhere.
And
I've forgotten it was showing
these
up
are
too.
Paid DLC if you've got this on Game Pass.
Yes.
But are they?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, because I didn't play the Hot Wheels one.
I bought the game. That's right.
Right. There's like a premium expansion thing that I got and have the game on Game Pass. So I don't own the game, but I own the expansion.
Right. I think that's why I didn't do it.
Maybe I did that. I paid for it in some capacity. Right. I wanted all this extra stuff.
So this one, you're going to a new area, Sierra Nuevo, I believe it's called.
Oh, New Sierra.
Maybe that's what it means, I believe.
What Nuevo means.
Hey, I don't know shit about anything. Ask me the definition of English words and I fucking won't be able to tell you. But you're driving around, not on the road.
Ooh.
Little off of it.
Ooh.
In the dirt,
naughty.
In the sleet, in the mud. It's
Colin McRae style.
His name is on your car.
Oh, wow.
To start with as well. There's a couple of names. I don't remember the other one, but like...
Ryan Stiles? Colin Mockery Rally.
Okay, well, let's... I'm mucking
just
that
make
up.
It up.
Yeah.
Who won? Points don't matter. It's rally racing.
Yes.
It's okay. It's a pretty small area that you're getting and like you're doing a lot of racing around like you did in Horizon. Like it's more of very much the same.
Right.
Where the Hot Wheels one had like, you know, this fun new setting and this ridiculous, the big Hot Wheels thing in the sky. Like that's the type of Horizon that I like.
I was hoping it'd be a little bit more because they had the Hot Wheels thing is like so fantastical And then I feel like in 4, they had like a crazy, like Fortune Island or something. I was hoping that there would be one that wasn't like straight up toys.
They had Fortune Island and Lego.
Yeah, exactly.
They had
right.
some ridiculous stuff.
So a heightened one for this. And then I was hoping that the other location would be something visually very like interesting. Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
Fortune Island's like this kind of cool. This just sounds like it's like more dirt roads and stuff.
It looks
nothing
like
right.
more of the Mexico yeah, stuff yeah. from the main game.
But it's different gameplay, right? Like you don't do heaps of rallying in the main game, do you?
You do a bit of it
okay.
in the main game. Like there's, you know, there's road stuff, but there's a lot of off-road stuff too.
Okay.
So this is doing a bit more of that. And like the races and the challenges and stuff that you're doing are fun in the same way that the main game is. But yeah, this is a bit, a little less interesting to
sure.
me than the other expansions they've done.
More content of the main game rather than like, hey, here's a funky thing.
With a focus on rallying where you've got like these three different sort of teams who each have a different version of rallying. There's like off-road, I think combined, and then night.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you pick one to join at first. And so you kind of like they've changed up the progression in sort of an interesting way. There aren't really those like boards around to smash in the same way.
Yeah.
There are sort of different things for each of the factions. And they've tried to do a bit here and there to make it seem a little spiced up, but it isn't really. It's
right.
it's more racing, particularly with a rally flavor, which is fun. And the game is fun to drive cars around in. I continue to like Forza Horizon, but you're not missing out on anything if you had your fill of this
game.
Like if you were absolutely fanging for more and you'd done everything in that already very dense game, then there's more here. But yeah, it's a little bit flat for me.
Right.
Okay.
Not bad, but just not creative in the way that this game can be when it's at its best.
Yeah, that's fair.
But so
for the rally heads. Hey,
if you're a big rally head, I don't know actually, because there's a lot of rally simulation stuff around and there's like the dirt games, which are a bit half and half.
Yeah, true.
So there's already quite a lot of rally competition out there.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is doing it so especially well that it would take anyone who's like, I'm all about the rally life away from that.
And buy Forza Horizon and buy this DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you'd only have to buy, I think the DLC is $30 individually and you could have Forza on Game Pass.
But
it's an odd one that just doesn't really fill any particular hole that I could see existing, if that makes sense. It just is what it is, which it's fine, and I enjoyed driving around a bunch more.
Yeah,
but I doubt I'll be as likely to really go and, because like the Horizon stuff fills the like Project Gotham hole from years and years ago. I used to love those games, and this does a lot of those same things with like you get your skill points instead of your kudos and all of that. But yeah, this is kind of whatever. And I guess they're gearing up for their, it's different teams, I suppose, who work on Horizon and the Forza Motorsport thing.
Gearing up.
Uh-huh. No, you saw it.
Gearing up.
A little bit of a tired pun.
What?
Wheel. But
is that Yoshi?
they
That's a great new catchphrase for us. Was that Yoshi?
They're putting out the main motorsport one
motorsport,
this year.
Yeah, motorsport, yes.
I think it's this year that they're saying it's meant to show up. We'll find out in June, I guess, when they're doing their...
Yeah.
June, July, when they're doing their press thing.
Yep.
But yeah, it's whatever. You're not... It's not exciting.
Right.
Right.
The murder of Sonic the Hedgehog is more exciting this week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, apart from Resident Evil 4, that's our pick of the week.
Yeah, it is.
2 weeks in a row. Yeah. A record.
Yeah.
But there's stuff coming out this April. I'm looking forward to games in the future. We all want to try that Dredge thing, I think.
Dredge sounds cool. Yeah, I'll maybe try and give that a go this week. I'm excited to play that Advance Wars reboot that's finally out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
There's that Horizon Zero Dawn expansion.
Forbidden
which,
West.
Yes. Pardon me.
How very dare you?
I was so focused on distancing it from the fact that we were just talking about Forza Horizon.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that Mercenaries mode.
You got Dead Island 2 coming up this month.
Yeah,
which I'm
keen for that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the first one. I really liked it.
This is different people.
It is, yeah.
And I don't know. I've got a...
The original people made Dying Light.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't love Dying Light 2.
I liked it a lot, but it didn't have a lot of personality. I enjoyed the gameplay, but
I guess this seems to have that, but maybe in an abrasive. I don't know. Yeah. I just got a bad feeling about Dead Island 2 for whatever reason.
Yeah,
I think it's still that it's set in LA, but it's called Dead Island.
That doesn't make any damn sense.
I'm fucking really weirdly ticked off by that. And then you got that Jedi Survivor game coming out.
Yes, getting good buzz. I'm seeing some good buzz.
There were
from
some
it.
Previews for people who are more important than us.
Yeah.
We didn't get to look at that, but
so it was only Joe Biden and no one else. He's the most important.
And then you're fucking coming up real close to Zelda soon and that Redfall game. There's a ton of good shit in like a 4-week window that's about 2 weeks away.
Yes.
Well, we'll be back to talk about all of it next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Check out filthycasuals.com.au.
Thanks everyone who came to our live show as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
It's been gone. If you wanted to buy a streaming ticket and watch it late, well, you're way too late.
You're way too late.
You could have, but you didn't.
Time marches on.
Yeah. Mm.
You could still come and see me at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival if you're quick about it.
Yeah.
It finishes Sunday, April the 9th. Thank you to the filth that have been down so far. But yes, get on to...
And keep PAX free. We're nothing's certain, but I mean, we will certainly all be hanging out at PAX
if we
get our media passes this year. But you know, keep an eye out for PAX.
Yeah, if you're Oz. There, or tell people who don't know us to come, and you stay out so we can get some new people. And you don't fill up the. No, I'm kidding.
We've got the Patreon, of course. The link is on filthycasuals.com.au. You
helps
can get
us out immeasurably.
Adam and I, at least. I don't know if you're going to knock. If you're going to tell me, we're going to watch the Tetris film.
Yep.
Talk about that on our bonus podcast.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
We watched one bad. Now we'll watch one that I've heard is good.
Yeah.
Video game movie. That'll be on the Monday one.
Yep.
It's a great place. Please come on to patreon.com/filthycasualspod. We try our best to make stuff that's good.
Yeah, we only like tend to talk about movies that we like enough to talk about them. So it's you know, it's a fun time.
Check all that stuff out. We got the YouTube channel, of course. We got the playthrough of the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog happening on there right now. Hundreds of other videos on there as well.
So many.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Yoshi! What the fuck did that mean?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.